Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
So we are finishing our Power of Jesus. We're talking about the power of Jesus. Last few weeks, Pastor Kevin has preached on how Christ has the authority over principalities and powers of the spiritual world, over nature, over healing, those kind of things. He's been going through the book of Mark, and I will not be in Mark today. I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be there in a minute if you'd like to get there at some point. And we're not in Mark, but I was reading Ephesians this past month, and this jumped out at me. And man, looking through it, it was something. I don't know if you ever read the Bible, just something exciting pops out at you, and you're like, this is pretty cool. And I thought, man, next time I preach, I want to share this. So I get the chance to share that today, something that I read, and it said just popped out at me, so I get to share that with you this morning. So I'm looking forward to it. So, all right, here we go. So here's how we're going to start. I need full audience participation. If you guys can help me out with that, all right? You guys are second service, so you've got a reputation to uphold, all right? You're alive. All right, so here we go. I need you to do this with me. Ready? Now, if that's too high for you, you can go an octave lower. That's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Oh, yeah. It's okay, one more time. Now, you're actually saying a sentence right now. Does anybody know what sentence you're saying? If you know, just raise your hand. Don't say it. Okay? Okay, if you're in first service, you know it. So I'm going to tell you what it is at the end of the message, all right? So just hold on to that. So let's do it one more time. All right, those are words you're saying, and you know them, but you may not know them, but you know them. So there you go. That's a teaser for the end. All right. So we all have a problem. We all have a problem. In the first service, someone said, yes, we do. Here's the thing. Whatever your worldview is, now, we're in Sunday morning church, so probably most of us here have a Christian worldview. We see the world and understand reality through a Christian lens, that you know, there's a creator, that Jesus is God, he came. Whatever way you see the world, I mean, some other common ones in our culture today are kind of secularist or atheist / secularist, that humanity is kind of the hope of the universe, and it's our advancements and our understanding that matters most, and if things are in our hands. You know, pluralism is pretty popular. Kind of, you believe what you want to believe, I believe what I believe. It's, you know, your truth can be your truth, mine's mine. It's all good. It all goes the same place. You know, we don't have to, you know, oppose each other or whatever. You know, a Christian worldview. Those are all pretty common. Now, whichever one of those you hold, I mean, whatever other one too as well, whether it's Hinduism, Islam, whatever, things don't fit. There's a problem that each one of us faces, that there's something in a worldview that just doesn't kind of quite make sense, doesn't fit. Like if you're doing, I have a couple puzzle illustrations, so get ready for your puzzle brain. You ever done a puzzle, which puzzles are great, usually for like the first 35, 40 minutes, and then you just get frustrated. And you're like, puzzles are great. You ever had a piece that seems to fit like halfway, you're like, I think this fits, but it doesn't. I have to really kind of force it in there, and I can't find any other piece, and you really have to like jam it in there to get it to fit, right? But it just doesn't go well. This is whatever worldview you have. There's things you really have to kind of either ignore or jam in there, no matter what worldview you have. If you're not a follower of Christ, that's welcome. You know, you kind of hold to the secularism understanding that there is no God and science can tell us everything. Well, that's great. There's a lot of answers there. But if you go back far enough, you really have to admit, then you're saying that nothing happened to nothing and then everything came from that, right? There's just a gap. That doesn't fit. That doesn't really work well. Pastor Kevin talked about that a little bit a few weeks ago. If you know, you kind of lean to the pluralist, hey, everything, you know, my truth is my truth, you follow what you want to follow. I mean, well, one, you're saying that the truth, that everyone's truth is right, is the one truth, so you're contradicting yourself, but also that when you get down to it, you're saying, you can believe 2 + 2 = 4, I'll believe 2 + 2 = 22, it's all good, and it just doesn't fit. Now, if you have a Christian worldview, which, again, we're here at church Sunday morning, so probably most of us are bending towards that way, you have kind of this, all these different things in Christianity, if we go ahead and put that up. We have suffering and we have disease and we have the atrocities of war and things humans have done to each other. but we believe in an all-powerful and all-good God. And how does that work? How, we just say a prayer and we're saved, and or do we have to live the right way? How do all these things fit together? And there's things that just don't seem to fit right. You have some gaps. You have some things that just don't fit right. Right? We all have this issue, whether you you know, believe in Christianity, believe in secularism, whatever you believe in, there's going to be something that just doesn't have a good answer right now. It just doesn't fit. You really have to force it to make it fit, and you have to struggle with it, and that's okay. Right, so we're all in the same boat. I'm saying, now maybe for you, you follow Christ, and you're just like, hey, look, I love my wife, I love the good Lord, and I love bacon. That's good enough for me. Good for you. That's the kind of childlike faith we need around here. But, you know, maybe you never really thought about it, but that's okay. I will say, if you don't follow Christianity, that I would say you do need to think about it. You really need to be honest with yourself and really ask what you believe and address those gaps in your worldview. You really need to. But there's whatever you believe in, whatever your worldview is, there's something that doesn't fit, and that's a problem for all of us. So I have a scripture today that fortunately can't give you all the answers to all of this. I mean, these are the questions that smart people have been wrestling around for centuries and centuries, so I'm not going to be able to give you all the answers here this morning. But there is a scripture that I think can give us a little bit of insight and a little bit of hope for these answers. All right, so that's where we're going to go. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's word. If you have a Bible, feel free to read along. We'll be in the NIV. I'll have it on the screen as well. Now, our focus today is going to be verses 9 and 10, the last two verses of this passage. That's kind of where we're going to be in this morning. But I wanted to read the whole passage for the good context it gives us. This passage is giving us an amazing story slash list of the awesome things God has done for us. We did this in middle school and high school a few weeks ago, and at our students, how many things that God has done for us. So one student came up with 21 different things in these verses that God has done for us. So I want to read the whole passage just to see this awesome list of how great God is towards us. And the end, the last two verses, 9 and 10, are something else he does for us, and I want to focus there. But let's read that passage this morning, Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy, blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us, here's our two verses we're going to focus on, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Father, I ask that it wouldn't be my words, but it would really be your words here this morning. I can't change anybody, but you can. So Spirit, I ask you to be working in hearts and minds right now. God, that truth would begin to pierce darkness. God, that love and grace would be here in this room. God, this message would be your message that is eternal and timeless. I ask this in your name. Amen. All right, let's read verses 9 and 10 again. This is where we're going to be. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. Here's that mystery, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. All right, so here's where we're going to go the next 20, 25 minutes or so. I want to make one point today. One point is what I want to make. So we're going to spend a minute or so drawing that point out of this scripture. All right, so we're going to get that point out of the scripture. I'm going to give you the point. I'm going to give you one reason why you can believe that, and I'm going to give you how it can affect us and change our life, all right? So we're going to take a minute, draw that point out. I'm going to give you the point, one reason why, and how that can affect us. So Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. So a couple things that we see talking about the mystery of God's will. The mystery of God's will. Here's a few thoughts on his will. One, he made it known to us. One, God gave us a little glimpse, a little insight into what his will is, what that mystery is. It's a gift he gave to us, and we see that it's through Christ. His will is going to be done through Christ. Number two, we see that the mystery of his will one day is going to be put into effect in the future. One day his will is going to be revealed, and it says put into effect. It's going to happen one day in the future. Something's coming where God's will is going to be fulfilled. And again, we know it's going to be in Jesus. But the number three, that will, the mystery of his will, is to what? Is to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ Jesus. One day, God is going to bring unity to all things under heaven and earth in Christ Jesus. Now, what does bring unity mean? So that was my next thought. I was reading this, I was like, this is cool. What does it mean to bring unity? So, of course, Pastor Kevin Sile, you got to go look at what does the Greek word say. It's a pretty rare Greek word. That Greek word is anakephalaio. Anakephalaio. Lots of vowels there. It only happens one other time in the Bible, and that's in Romans 13:9. Let's see what that says. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, whatever other command there may be, are summed up. That's the word, anakephalaio, summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so this word, in one passage, it says to bring unity to things. In another passage, it says to sum things up. One of the books I was reading, it says that, it was used in business figures as an adding up of a column, adding up of figures. One translation says it brings things under the headship of Christ, under Christ's leadership. So this is concept of an adding up. If for business people in here, you have a sheet of your incomes and your expenses and all these things. The very end of the document, what's at the very end there? The bottom line, right? It's kind of like that understanding. It's the bottom line. All these things that are happening, Jesus is going to bring a bottom line to all these things, right? He's going to unite them. He's going to bring them together. It's adding up of columns. We looked at the columns earlier. Let's look at those again. This word was used as adding up of business columns. Maybe somehow these things that don't fit together, how can God be good? How can we have these things? Maybe through Jesus, these things can add up somehow. They can come together somehow. Kind of like we talked about puzzles. There was these puzzles we were looking at before we got married, like these kind of kitschy marriage puzzles or whatever, that on the outside, there's these pieces that don't fit together, but there's a centerpiece that all the pieces fit into that centerpiece, and that centerpiece connects the whole puzzle and makes it what it is. That's another concept of like how it brings it together. These things that don't fit, but yet when they're connected into the middle piece, they fit together and they make a whole. Okay, so we have this concept of bringing unity, of a summing up and adding up, kind of business term, of coming together, coming under Christ, all the things in heaven and earth. So here's how I want to say it. Here's the point I want to make. We have this concept that one day all things are going to come together. So here's the point is, one day things will make sense through Jesus. One day things will make sense through Jesus. I think that's a good way to say this concept of an adding up, of coming together. So all these things that we have issues with, all these things that we struggle with and say, how does this work? How does this fit? Ephesians 10 is saying, one day the mystery of God's will is going to be fulfilled. Things are going to come together. And I think that gives us a hope. We don't have all the answers now, but one day we have a hope that things are going to make sense through Jesus. And again, don't have all the answers, but we have that hope. So here's a video. Check this out.
I'm a street painter, and I'm going to do a painting in a minute and a half or less.
Okay. All right, here we go. Let's hear it for D. West Street.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool, right? So I Googled upside down painting, and even as he was doing it, I still couldn't tell what it was, even though I knew that's what his plan was. Here's the thing, he was in control the whole time. He had a plan, even though no one else could tell really what was going on. He was in control. He knew what he was doing. He knew what was coming, that flip was going to reveal everything. So think about it this way. Picture Jesus, the creator and author of everything, working his plan throughout history, and no one else can really clearly see what's going on, and we know he's in control, and we try to believe that. But one day, that flip is coming, and things are going to be flipped upside down, and we're going to see clearly what was going on the whole time. And these things that aren't going to fit, that don't make sense right now, that seem almost useless and almost like wasted, are going to make sense, and we're going to see that the designer and creator had a plan and was in control the entire time. Right? That flip is coming, and I think that's what Ephesians 1:10 is telling us, that one day in the future, these things can be put into effect, the fulfillment through Christ. All things on heaven and earth are going to find their unity, are going to be found through him. Even if we know Jesus and we can try to figure it out, but he's the one in control, he's the master. One day, things will make sense through Jesus. One day, things will make sense through Jesus. So, okay, why can you believe that? So you may be saying, okay, that's nice. It's a very succinct saying. It's nice and sounds good. But honestly, I still see all these issues. And I can't see how these tensions can be resolved. I don't see how a good, loving God can work with this. I don't see how this can fit. It's too much for me. I just don't see how that saying, I can really trust that. All right, so here's a reason why I can believe this. And it's a little elementary, but I think it's an important thing to remember. Why can you believe that one day things will make sense? And that's simply because God might know what you can't know. God just might be a little bigger and smarter and more good than you. He can know things that you can't quite know. So here's Ecclesiastes 8:16-17. Here's what it says. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe the labor that is done on earth, people getting no sleep day or night, then I saw all that God had done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all their efforts to search it out, no one can discover its meaning. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot really comprehend it. See, today we have so much information. It's the information age and technology. We know a lot of things. We know a lot of things we didn't used to know, but it doesn't mean we know everything. It doesn't mean we're even close. You know, there's an argument that science we don't need God anymore because of our scientific advancements. You know, the ancients would see a sunset or see storms and think it was the gods up in heaven, you know, doing something. And that's what caused them. It must be that the weather must be caused by the gods doing something. We say, well, now we can see a sunset is, it's not just magical. We know it's because the light hits the atmosphere at an angle and it spreads out the colors and one of those things. And storms are because there's humidity and pressure and different temperatures. And so it's not the gods. And our DNA is, we can see how it fits together and all the acids, amino acids are going in the right order. Just because we see the design doesn't remove the need for a designer. You know, we know more about these things work, and so yes, we don't have to just say, well, I can't understand it, it must be the gods, but we can see. I mean, I didn't used to know how a car worked at all. Now that I do a little bit more, I know that there's pistons and things that it has to fire at the right time and it moves the wheels around. That doesn't mean no one designed the car just because I understand more how it works. Right, but that argument to me doesn't make a lot of sense. That just because things aren't quite as mysterious, it doesn't explain why. We can't explain why gravity exists, why every single piece of matter in the universe is attracted to another, something else, and there's gravity. We can't explain why or how that got to be that way. That doesn't remove the need for God. You can know a lot of things, you don't know everything, and maybe God might know something that you can't know. Maybe God's a little bit bigger. See, don't we in life, don't we always look back on our younger selves and realize how much we didn't know then? Don't we do that? So say this is your life right here, 12 inches, 1 foot. That's your life. Congratulations, you made it. Okay? So if 12 inches, say 75, 80 years average lifespan for the United States, all right? So this is your entire life. All your experiences, all your wisdom, all your thoughts and feelings and education and everything you can share and know. Right there. You were born, had some fun, cried, and you died. And when you're in life is big, but then I mean, pretty soon in 100 years, none of us are going to be here, and next people are going to be laughing at that joke. That's how it goes. But every time we get a little further, we look back and realize how much we didn't know. So if this is your life, if 75 years, say 75 years is a foot, right? Let's look at the entirety of human history, all right? Say past, present, and future. All right, if you know, if you're on the young Earth kind of side, you say 10,000 years. If, you know, lots of belief for older, say 3 billion, 4 billion years. Let's just say God is infinite. If God's infinite, let's just say halfway between infinite and 10,000 is 3 billion. Does that sound fair enough for all of history? Okay, past, present, future, God's above it. Everything that exists. Let's say if your life, 75 years is a foot, 3 billion years would be this long. Start right here. This would stretch not only to the end of North Ridgeville or the end of Lorain County or the end of Ohio or Canada. This would go all the way to Alaska. So I'm out of Ohio, going to Canada. I'm in Alaska. Oh, there's a baby seal being eaten by a polar bear. Okay, so just went from here to Alaska, all of human history. That was fun. Thank you guys for imagining with me. That's fun. But okay, so this is your life. This is the entirety of your lifespan compared to all of human history, past, present, and future, which is from here to Alaska. Okay? So this is what you know, this is what you experience. Now this is you in second grade. Here's your second grade life. Look how cute you were. Now, when I was in second grade, I couldn't think of any reason why my dad wouldn't be happy that I got our hand soap from our bathroom and washed his car with hand soap and a squirt gun. Right? I was second grade. I knew how the world worked. I know soap was soap. Soap cleans things. Soap cleans your hands. Soap cleans the dishes. Soap cleans the car. Right? I knew that. Now, my dad understood I was trying to be nice, but he wasn't super happy that he took hand soap and poured it all over his windows in his car, because what does hand soap do on a car? It just stains it and smears it, and you have to go actually get it washed at a car wash. Right? But I thought I knew. I couldn't think of any reason why this soap wouldn't work. We had plenty of hand soap. I figured I'd just use it on the car. Soap was soap. I knew that. Yet I didn't. Even though then I couldn't think of any reason why soap wouldn't be good. Then I grew up when I was in seventh grade. Seventh grade me. Look how wise I am now. All my brain cylinders were firing, both of them. Now in seventh grade, I could look back at my second grade self and see, oh, silly Michael, in second grade, all soap isn't the same. You need the right kind of soap. I was smart and wise in seventh grade. But in seventh grade, I couldn't think of any good reason why I would take my mom an entire week to do my laundry. I couldn't think of any reason why she would wait that long. When she knew I had youth group and I had to wear my favorite shirt and it was still in the laundry, she must be lazy or just trying to spite me or something. I couldn't think of any reason why she wouldn't have the laundry done in a week. Right? That's what a mom's job was. I knew. I was smart. I'd lived 12 and a half years on this earth. A mom is supposed to do the laundry and make me food when I get home from school. And ask me how I'm doing, and I say, fine. Right, parents with seventh graders? Yeah. So I couldn't think of any reason other than my mom being lazy why she wouldn't get the laundry done. I couldn't think of any reason. Even though I saw how not smart I was in second grade, I thought I had arrived in seventh grade. And then I got to college, and then I really knew everything. And then, see, I looked back at my seventh grade self in college, and I realized, man, how foolish was I to think that of my mom? And I began to see how much my parents had sacrificed and cared for me and loved me and how much they gave up and what a gift it was to have parents that loved me and took care of me. And I realized how foolish I was in seventh grade, and I realized I didn't know anything. I look back, my college age, I look back at my seventh grade age in my second grade and be like, I didn't know anything. But see, in college, I couldn't think of any reason. I couldn't think of any good reason why I would hear stories of people who followed God, and they would tell these stories and write about these stories where they went through times of spiritual dryness and darkness, and they didn't hear God or feel God. And I couldn't think of any good reason why the God I knew would let his followers go through that. I thought, yes, I know there's pain and suffering, but at least you'll always have that feeling of presence of God. I couldn't think of any good reason. It must be their fault. They must be not praying enough. They must be hiding sin in their life. They must not really know God. That's why. I couldn't think of any good reason why God would let his follower go through that until then. I went through a period or two of that myself, and I realized God was still there, and it caused my roots to grow deep, and it caused me to really delve into a real relationship with God and not the boyfriend Jesus that Pastor Kevin talks about that just makes you feel good. And it caused me to examine my faith and wonder why and how I believe what I believe, and became stronger. So in college, even though I couldn't think of any good reason, now past that I see, okay, maybe I didn't know everything. Maybe now I can look back and see, yeah, I didn't really know everything then. And so now I'm 28 and I've been married for 2,500 hours. I have all this wisdom, experience under my belt. Right? I can see when I was 25 the things I didn't know then. And just maybe on our fifth anniversary, I'll look back on our first year and say, man, we didn't know that much then. And maybe when I'm 50, I just bet that I'm going to look back at when I was 35 and say, man, I was just a kid. What did I know? And to me right now, 10 years of marriage sounds like a lot. And there's a scene in a movie that there's this older gentleman whose wife passed away. They were married for 40, 50 years. And his son and his daughter-in-law are trying to get him to kind of snap out of the sadness of his wife dying. And he's talking to her at her gravesite, and she's passed. And he says, they've only been married 10 years. What do they know about marriage? And to me, 10 years sounds like a lot, but I guess if you're married 45, 50 years, 10 years is you're just beginning, and you look back at 10 years and say, we didn't know anything then. So maybe, just maybe, when every single inch of our life, we look back at the previous inch and say, man, I didn't know anything. Man, I see things totally different now. Man, that makes sense to me now. Maybe, just maybe, a God who's infinite and all-knowing and all-powerful, maybe in your foot between here and Alaska at some point when he reveals himself and he shows himself to be who he is, maybe at some point, if you already know every inch, you're doing that for the inch before. At some point in eternity, God's going to flip that pain. He's going to flip it all around, and we're going to see it. We're going to say, oh. Even though right now you say, I can't think of any good reason. I can't think of any good reason. I can't see how this works. I don't see. And look, what I don't want to do is minimize your pain or your suffering for going through something. I understand it's easy for me to stand on a platform and say these ideas, and those things aren't going to remove the pain in your life. I understand that. I'm not trying to minimize what you're going through. And Jesus didn't either. Jesus came and he died to suffer with you, and he wept with us. He showed us he cares about our pain and suffering. Pain is real. I understand that. I'm not going to fix it by me saying something from a platform. I understand that. I don't want to minimize that. But the idea is still there. The concept is the same, that at one point, even though right now you say, I can't see any good reason why this God would allow this, or why this God, how this can work. But maybe, just maybe, at some point over the next 6,000 miles, so to speak, you can look back and say, oh, I didn't know anything back then. Now that I have the perspective of Christ, a Christ who's been revealed and who that time has been fulfilled, you can look back. See, maybe, just maybe, God can know something that you don't know. God might know that. God doesn't work on our schedule or our plans, and we have to trust him with those kind of things. So that's why you can believe that one day things will make sense through Jesus. That's why we can believe that. It's not just a trite saying. And yes, it takes some faith, but there's a reason. God is bigger than us. That's our lives, and God is a lot bigger. He can know things that we don't. One day things will make sense through Jesus. Ephesians 1, man, it gives us such a great hope for the future. It gives us a hope that Jesus will be over everything, will bring things together. We're going to understand the world through him. We're going to see the world through him. We're going to see history through him. It's going to be a line under him. That flip is coming. That flip is coming. I don't know when. That flip is coming. He's in control, just like that painter knew what he was doing. And yes, there are problems and issues right now, but that flip is coming. We can trust him with that. This book puts it in such a great way. It says in Ephesians, addition and summation does not quite express the author's thought adequately. To bring everything together in unity under Christ suggests that all things, human beings, all of history, the entire universe, finds their focus in Christ. This essentially is the content of God's secret plan. And that scope is huge. All of this, what we can see and can't see at all, it's all centered around Jesus. This God that we worship that came in flesh, it's all about him and around him. That scope is mind-blowing. And yes, we know Jesus, but yet we don't. He's infinite. He's God. We can't fully understand him or his plans. So at the beginning of the message, I gave you three sounds. Remember those? One more time. Okay, so I need a volunteer. A volunteer who can ask me what those words are. Okay, are you going to ask me? Okay, all right. She's going to ask me what those words are. She's about to ask me. Let's do it a couple more times so we get it in our minds. Good, ready? Okay, ask me.
Pastor Mike, what are those words?
Get it? See, you heard it in the right context. I feel like half of you still didn't get it. We all, at one point or another, I bet, in our lives have gone, And what are you saying when you do that? The three words you're saying are, I don't know. Right? So those sounds, you didn't know what they were. You knew, but you didn't know until you saw it in the right context, with the right perspective, and then you understood. Right? Then it clicked. Then it clicked for you. And in the same way, we see Jesus, we know who he is, we see the world and the problems of the world, and we don't see how it can work. You probably just say, those are not words that I'm saying, but in the right context, you understood, and I think one day in the right context, we're going to see Jesus is going to flip it, whether it's in our lifetime or the next. Don't know exactly how it's going to work, but Ephesians is telling us there's coming a time we can trust him, we need to trust him. That flip is coming. All right, so what? This is a great idea. What does this mean? How can this actually change you? So what does this all mean? What does this do for me? I mean, so number one, that idea that when you are struggling with the gaps in your faith or what you believe and how does this fit, think of Ephesians and remind yourself that there is hope that Christ is over it all and these things one day are going to add up. They're going to come together. I have to trust that. But in a real sense as well, how can this actually affect your life? Well, honestly, I think the scope here is pretty great as well. It really can affect every area of your life. And that's what Jesus is. He came to change all of us. So if one day things are going to make sense through Jesus, if one day all of human history, our thoughts are going to be seen through Jesus and seen through his lordship, seen through what he's doing, we're going to see that through him. It's going to make sense. Then how about right now we begin to see life through him? How about right now? It's kind of like these sunglasses that I found in Lost and Found, so if they're yours, come and grab them after third service, because I still need them. Right, so these sunglasses, when I put them on, everything's a little bit orange and a little bit pinkish. Things a little bit differently. So the same way, see things through Jesus, through the Jesus sunglasses. Right, your family. How does this change your family? Well, you know, fathers and husbands, Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church, where he emptied himself and gave himself up. And you see your family, that changes how you love your family and how you lead your family. You see them through Christ the same way Christ loved the church, where he didn't hold back, but he gave everything for them. That changes you. Your suffering. And once again, I'm going to say, I don't want to minimize your pain or your circumstances. Yes, it's difficult. And yes, Jesus, you see it through Jesus, he came and he suffered with you. He loved you so much that he wanted to experience suffering with you, and he did. And those who were suffering with others, he wept with them. So see that through the lenses of Jesus. It's not the end, and I'm not trying to say, hey, just walk with your head in the clouds. Your pain is not real. Just ignore it. Everything's happy and perfect. I'm not saying that. That's kind of New Age Buddhism stuff that just, hey, just distance yourself from reality. No, I'm not saying that. Reality is, Jesus, looking through the Jesus lenses, he said, in this life you'll have many troubles. Your pain doesn't surprise God. Your pain doesn't throw him off. He said, things are not going to be easy. But what else did he say? Take heart, I have overcome the world. So in your circumstances, in your pain, yes, it's real. Yes, I'm not minimizing it, but it doesn't surprise God. He's with you. He promised to be with you. He came and suffered with you so he could know what you're going through. And he said, I'm with you. And he said, take heart, I have overcome the world. See your circumstances through the lens of Jesus. Because one day it's all going to be done that way anyway. So might as well start practicing now. Other people, people around you, people in your world, people that annoy you, people you disagree with, people that you know are wrong and are you don't like very much. That's okay. You don't have to like everybody, I don't think. But you see them with your Jesus lenses, and you see these are the same people that Jesus came and was tortured and died for, just like me. I'm no different than them when it comes to God's grace. We read in Ephesians 1 how lavishly he gave us his grace towards us, riches of grace and freedom and forgiveness. You didn't earn that. And those are the same people that he wants to give those things to. And you begin to see people in that way. You see them a little bit differently. You become kinder. And instead of trying to win arguments or instead of trying to put yourself ahead of them, you try to show them truth. And you can still speak truth, still be right. You have to be hurtful, though. How about with your sin? Instead of saying, well, God's going to forgive me. I can get away with a little bit here and there. His forgiveness is great. Jesus didn't come for you to use him. He came to set you free from that sin. So you're going to be look at the sin in your life. And instead of saying, how much can I get away with? How much can I be okay with? How much can I feel good but still not feel super guilty and ask for enough forgiveness? Instead of seeing it that way, see it through Jesus and say, wow, this is what he came to set me free from. He wanted to crush my sin so badly, he was willing to die for it. You begin to see that a little bit differently. That changes you. So now instead of living a life on the middle ground of how much can I get away with but still be a good person, you say, Jesus, set me free from this. I want you instead of that. So when we have the hope of Jesus one day being the center and fulfillment and the lens through which we see all things, let's practice that right now. That really can change our lives. We need to see and look at things through the lens of Jesus. Our family, our friends, our circumstances, our own battles. They can change us. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you. Thank you that you're bigger than me and us. Lord, I don't always like it, but it's a good thing. Help us remember that you are good. You are bigger. You are wiser. Help us remember that you are in control one day, whether in this lifetime or the next, the flip is coming. Things will make sense through you. God, help us live our lives seeing through you right now. Let's live empowered by the Spirit, following you with everything we do. I ask this in your name. Amen. Second service, have a great Sunday. Remember, one day things will make sense through Jesus. Hold on to that hope.